that, you know, it's like how kids talk about baseball players. That's how we talk about albums.
We're just trying to postpone mortality.
They need that to fill some kind of void that they have.
The search for the Yeti.
He's a duck.
Well, don't interrupt.
Welcome to a bonus episode of the Smashing Pumpcast. I'm Frank.
I'm Pat, and today we are going to be kind of recapping, kind of gabbing about the recent Pumpkins show we saw on the World is a Vampire tour in beautiful, sunny Irvine, California.
Except the day that we went, it was raining.
Oh, yeah.
At first it was raining.
Kind of a sun shower, though. It ended up being nice. Yeah, it rained, but then it was like, you know, 6:30 p.m. sun came out, and it also rained some more, and then it stopped, and yeah, it was cool. I never really, like, it was an entirely new venue to me, and I don't think I've really spent much time in Irvine prior to that. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I definitely haven't. I mean, Anaheim I'd been to, mm-hmm. which I guess is close. I'm really bad at geography and California,
too.
Even with, like, the surrounding neighborhoods.
No, I am too. I have a very bad inherent sense of direction and everything about, like, unlike New York, which, like, because I experienced all of it on foot and sort of part of it, I didn't have a smartphone the entire time anyway, but I had to actually learn that city, but everywhere you go here, it's just GPS. Like, you don't have to actually, or in my experience, like, I haven't actually, like, learned shit, you know?
That John Mulaney joke about New York, about Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. And he's like, how do you get lost there? It's a grid system, you simple bitch. But yeah, I think that, we left early around, like, 3 o'clock to try to beat the traffic. But, oh, baby, mm-hmm. L.A. and rain, when even it's a little bit of rain, it was already pretty bad traffic getting there. It took us about 2 hours
mm-hmm.
to get there from Los Angeles, and then back it took us 45 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, the World is a Vampire tour started, it kicked off in Mexico City, where they did a run there, and then went to Australia. They had a handful of dates there, a lot of great stuff. You'll actually be hearing from some of the Australian concert goers later in this episode. You'll be hearing other accounts from the World is a Vampire tour on this episode after we give our recap. So thank you to everyone who submitted their stories from this tour. So, Pat, this was like only a few shows in to the tour, and I was going to try to go set list spoiler free.
Mm-hmm.
But no, what did I do that first night?
You peaked.
Because here's the thing. I was supposed to go to night one.
Oh, that's right.
My wife and I had planned this. My mother-in-law was in town. She was going to watch the kiddo.
Mm-hmm.
And we booked a hotel in Vegas. And we were psyched. We were going to go see the Pumpkins in Vegas. It was going to be a road trip. Just the two of us, Pat. It was going to be wonderful.
Well,
finally,
nothing
time.
Went wrong, though, right?
Oh, well, a little thing called COVID got my ass.
Shit.
Second time having it in, I think the first time was 2021. Wasn't too bad then, but this time, mother. Ooh.
Yeah.
It kicked my ass. I could have gone, but it wouldn't have been a good idea.
Right.
I didn't want to spread it. Those first 3 days laid me out.
Yeah, yeah.
So as I was sitting quarantined in our bedroom, just feeling like I was on death's bed, I was refreshing setlist.fm and talking to certain listeners on our DMs, kind of being like, I heard this mm-hmm. Reddit, following Reddit, and then like it being updated in real time. So I was really bummed. I couldn't help but see what I was missing out on.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was assured, like, hey, it's okay. You're going to the Irvine show. If you get better by then, you'll be going to the Irvine show. You'll be fine. It's pretty much the same set list. And they didn't say that in a derogatory way. It was just kind of being like, don't feel like you missed out too much.
Yeah, yeah.
So luckily, I got better. I got better in time for the Billy Corgan Grammy Museum Q&A, so I was able to attend that.
Yeah.
And then a few days later, we went to this show, and I was glad that you got to join me for this show,
yeah,
Pat.
It was great.
Because we hadn't seen each other in a little bit, And it was good to kind of have the good car company and
go see
the show.
Yeah, it was awesome, and I did sort of like, you know, remember, oh, this is like a little bit of a, it's like the Pumpkins like traveling festival kind of,
yeah,
you know, like it's so. Jack Bates hooked us up with access to the show, and you know, it was fantastic. It was like I like seeing them outside of LA, you know, like
yeah.
They were, it, maybe it's just because I happened to catch two really good shows in the, that one we went to at the beach festival in Redondo Beach was mm-hmm. fucking amazing. It was
yeah.
like the first time I'd seen them since the pandemic and, you know, 2018 or whatever. But yeah. And I think it doesn't hurt to catch, like, they fucking ripped. I mean, Billy sounded, his voice was on point, you know?
Yeah.
It was, and I had sort of peeked at the set list a little bit. But a lot of it was a surprise to me. I think I knew, you know, some basics that they were going to do. But yeah, I was able to be surprised by a lot of it.
Yeah. And even though I knew what they were going to play, I was still very happy to hear certain songs. So let's just go through the playlist, the set list. Of course, we had the pre-recorded Autumn. That's what they've been coming out on stage to. Then we start off, kick it off with the Everlasting Gaze, mm-hmm. Doomsday Clock, which we haven't heard in a while,
yeah,
especially
cool.
with James playing it,
yeah.
which is awesome. We have the cover, of course, Once in a Lifetime that they've been playing for the past year. Today, Perfect, which was a nice return.
Love to see that. Yeah,
yeah, and it was that. A nice rendition of it. I like that we got a variation on it, too.
That's one that I love that song, you know, but I don't think I've seen it performed live very much prior to that. Like,
yeah.
I'm sure I probably had, but not much.
Yeah, I really like the sound of it. Disarm, and Oceania made a return with
yeah,
the Celestials.
That was great.
I was so happy to hear that song.
That was awesome.
And it was great. I may seem unafraid, and I may seem unashamed. And speaking of additions to the set list, from Seer, Purple Blood.
Yeah.
Sounded great. I really liked it.
Yeah, like this section especially. Like, I also feel like maybe they didn't play Disarm the last time we saw them. So, like, Disarm, the Celestials, Purple Blood, that trio, that was like we're getting kind of deep into the show. And, like, that was a really satisfying kind of 1-2-3 punch.
And I love at the end where Billy gives Katie the chance to just sing that.
Mm-hmm.
That whole part
that was cool.
is really great. Then we have Ava Adore, of course, Tonight, which was just Billy and James.
Yeah.
We got Bullet with Butterfly Wings, of course. And then from Machina, we have the return of This Time,
yeah,
which I loved hearing.
That
I
was
loved
a highlight.
That. Yeah, that was one of my favorites.
This time I need to know. I really must be told. If it's over, I've lived my life alone. My every step forward told. To never linger.
Then we get Spellbinding from Autumn.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have a cover, another cover, a Manfred Mann cover, which is a pretty deep cut. Speaking of...
I don't think I really knew this. I mean, I know, like, the nursery
rhymes. Right, Hubble Bubble, Toil and Trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
But this one is funny because at that Grammy Museum Q&A, Allie was asking about, you know, the Talking Heads cover and how, like, you how he chose covers. And he said for this one, he's been really addicted to the 60s Sirius FM channel
Oh, yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, and he mentioned some host, too, that was, like, one of his favorites that plays, like, pretty deep cuts. And even though this one was like a hit at the time, it's still kind of like a deep cut. Mm-hmm. And he heard it and he was like, oh, we should do this.
Yeah.
And
you don't hear this on like on the radio.
Yeah, you're not going to hear it on the oldie days. Stations yeah. that much. But yeah, Hubble Bubble, Toil and Trouble. It was a great cover. And then it goes back into Jelly Belly.
Which was amazing. I mean, oh, that was another super highlight of the night.
Sounded so good. Then we got Empires. Then Hummer. Of mm-hmm. course, you gotta have Hummer. Beguiled, 1979, Cherub Rock, and of course, ending with Zero.
Yeah.
So, Pat, tell me about your highlights from the show and why.
I mean, I love hearing, it's always fun to hear 1979 and Zero and stuff. Cherub Rock was great, but
as always,
Jelly Belly was a super highlight. This Time was a big highlight. Celestials was a big highlight. I mean, I loved hearing Disarm. Like I said, I feel like it had been since like 2018 since I saw them play it. And I still, you know, we've seen it before, but the Once in a Lifetime performance was amazing. Doomsday Clock was really great to hear. You know, I had a great time throughout the whole show. I was really like, you know, because sometimes, you know, it's like with concerts, even if the, like you have the, but you want to have a great time. Sometimes it's like,
yeah,
I'm tired or like, I'm, you know, I'm ready. I'm looking at my watch, you know, but like, I really, yeah, kind of like, you know, so like, I guess some people would say it's not the most like, deep cut set list, but it is in some cases, you know,
yeah.
Like, I feel like it's a great show and it's fun to see them play the hits, you know,
yeah.
It really is for like a big, happy, like audience, like to nail these songs. It's, you know, it was great. What about you? What were your standouts?
Well, I think the set list is one of my favorites in a while just because of the flow of it.
Yeah.
I really, really like the flow of it. I will say, my only criticism was that the beginning of the show felt a little muddy. The sound was a little like...
They tweaked it.
Yeah, they tweaked it as it went on. So I was really grateful for that because I was like, whoa, this is kind of coming out. And that's standard, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why they pick a first song to kind of calibrate,
right?
But I love the Everlasting Gaze. Kicking off with that is just a great choice.
Yeah.
And then into Doomsday Clock, because I didn't get to see them during that era.
Mm-hmm.
So I missed that entire zeitgeist.
Yeah.
You know, and then having James play on it too,
yeah,
and it just, I really liked that choice. I mean, I love other songs from that album, but here to Doomsday Clock was a treat for
me. Totally. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I also had, I mean, it's, and also after we covered Zeitgeist and like deepened our appreciation for all those songs. But yeah, it's like a real great, like, you know, retrospective. I mean, it reminds me of the first time I saw them. Well, actually, no. I think it was the first time I saw the Pumpkins because I just missed them, you know, the first couple times around. But in 2016, and it was the shows where James was rejoining them for the first time, and it was such a. I've talked about this, but like he folded in like a Zwan song. He did like whole Malibu. I don't know if there was any like solo album stuff, but like it was sort of just like. This is all part of it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it was starting to feel like all the different eras were sort of gelling into something. And now flash forward, it's like
really cohesive,
really cohesive, really tight, really like, I don't want to say permanent because nothing is, you know, everything changes constant. But yeah, James is such an awesome presence. I think we had pretty good seats. Like I felt pretty close, not like right up there, but like pretty close
enough,
where I was
like
looking at him and studying what everybody's doing and stuff.
It's great to see how much fun he's having. We actually got to meet him very briefly.
Yeah, man,
thanks
that
to
was
Jack.
Awesome.
That
I mean, was, like, yeah, we had, you know, we've met like Jack and
Jeff and Katie.
Jeff and Katie and stuff, and but yeah, and I think we kind of like brushed by James at the Hollywood Bowl show, but yeah, we chatted with him. We you know, it was great. We had Jack, like
Jack was our in. Yeah,
I feel like we had about as good of a like short interaction as you could.
It was perfect.
You know?
I was very happy with the interaction just because, like, and Jack even said there's no way you would get him on because he doesn't.
We
wouldn't dream of asking. We were even too afraid to ask for a picture.
Yeah.
But like we were just so thrilled that we got to have an interaction because he, what would he say? He said something about like, because Jack was like, these guys do the Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah.
And then he goes, oh, so you must really like the band.
Yeah.
Or maybe you don't. You
know, right.
Like,
yeah.
So it was like kind of like that kind of like classic.
We goofed
James
on that. Yeah. A
yeah.
Little
we
bit.
Goofed. Yeah. We had some back and forth and it was great. It was short, brief. Mm-hmm. He was funny, witty.
Yeah.
Sardonic. It was perfect.
Yeah. And he's like, so, you know, as everybody knows who's seen them, he's kind of like the unofficial like MC of the night, kind of like Billy is in a way, but James is sort of your host to the evening, you know, like, so he does a great job at that. And it's, yeah, man, it's like just circling back to the set list and the different eras represented. And it's kind of cool too. Another reason I like seeing shows outside of LA is just to kind of like, because LA is a city filled with people from everywhere, you know, but if you venture out, like, not that that's not true in Irvine, but it, like, I don't know, I like seeing who shows up, you know what I mean?
It's a good,
like,
mix of people,
yeah,
and like
a lot of parents and children seemingly.
I will say, not to disparage, but because we're close to the OC, you got a little bit of rabble rousers there. A lot of toxic bros.
There was a situation at the end of our row where a guy, you know,
there was a few around. I clocked a few that happened.
Yeah,
But on our row, if you go to our socials, you can see. I think I posted it of the guy who was, I don't know what happened. Somebody disrespected his jacket he had on the seat.
It's just not the kind of behavior you see with men of our age in our particular circles too much.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't. I mean, it was like, it's not a good look to be, you know, well into your 40s, just drunk off your ass, like threatening to, you know, punch another guy's girlfriend or whatever this guy was doing. So there was some rabble rousing, but it was cool. But that's part of it. It's like, okay, that guy showed up.
Yeah. You know? We were like telling him, like, don't ruin Hummer, you asshole.
Yeah, I know. They were playing Hummer. It was like, yeah. But it was like, it was similar to that beach. Not that this happened at the Beachlight Festival, but it was very interesting people watching.
Yeah.
That was a slightly different vibe, but it was like, that was like a long day in the sun. Definitely some sort of dangerously drunk people. But it does add a little bit of, you know, spice to the evening.
My favorite type of, like, you're like, oh boy, watch out for this person, is the person with, like, it looks like their face is just dead. They're about to throw, like, they're on the precipice of throwing up, but yet they plow through with their body like a toddler,
right?
Just like
still kind of attempting to like dance or something, you know. But I know
they're
exactly
just being
what
way
you mean.
Too aggressive, and I'm just like, everybody, let's part the sea for this.
Let them go,
drunk Moses here.
And they're usually coming to stand right like next to you.
Yes, or they're coming from the very back to get right up to the stage right. And they're just plowing.
They're drunk
through.
Enough to just do. Just fuck it. I'll just do it.
Yeah. But what I loved about the makeup of this crowd was a lot of kids.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of parents with kids. I wanted to take my daughter, but I think it was like, it's too soon to do that.
Yeah,
but eventually, because she wants to go, but I think like, not right now, but I will take her eventually.
Yeah.
And I feel like amphitheater shows are like the perfect thing for that, because out in the common area, I guess is what you would call it, you know, they had beanbag, you know.
It seemed like more conducive to a kid there than like some venues, for sure. Yeah.
What were your... Oh, wait. Actually, I should talk about my highlights, I guess. For me, I really loved hearing the variation on Perfect and absolutely loved hearing Celestials. I would love to hear more stuff from Oceania, mm-hmm. for sure, and from... You know, honestly, like you talk about like the set list encompassing, I think they have the room to do that now, because they've done their kind of like hits tour and, you know, like the return tour, mm-hmm. and World is a Vampire is such a specific term that people know, and they're still playing the hits in there. But I think like moving forward, they could even really encompass all of their, you know, from Gish to Autumn.
Yeah.
Like all that stuff, because there's room in the set list, I think, for it.
Yeah.
Because like, again, I loved hearing Purple Blood. It's one of my favorite tracks from Seer, mm-hmm. and especially this time, just because it's so funny, because I mean, Siamese Dream is definitely my favorite Pumpkins album, but a personal favorite just because of what it means to me. My second favorite really alternates between Melancholy. It always shifts between Melancholy, Adore, and Machina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this song this time was a real good, like, it was just such a treat to hear that. Hearing Spellbinding live, just to see how they pull it off. In the Howard Willing interview, you'll hear him, because I asked about, I was like, it sounds like it's clipping or something. Mm-hmm. Like, what's that? What's the deal with that? And he said that it was, and I'm not spoiling anything, there's still almost 2 hours worth of episode you can hear, but he said that it's 5-4 time, and then when it goes to the chorus, it goes into 4-4 time.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why it has that effect, which is really cool, and I wanted to see how they pulled it off live.
Yeah.
And it worked. It's a great, like, kind of anthem-y song. But I think for me, the real standout was definitely Jelly Belly. Mm-hmm. I was so thrilled to hear that.
That was awesome.
And I can't remember if I had seen it. Did they play it in 2018?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
That might have been the first time I saw it live, I think.
I mean, I hadn't, because I had that big gap. I might have seen them play it on the Sacred and Profane tour in 2000, but I definitely saw them play it in 96 when I saw them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just such a treat to hear that, like them, right? And then like also Jack, you could tell like he's just like loving being able to play. I hope that they get to play Geek USA. That's the one track I know that he's really wanted to play.
Hummer, I remember when we asked him.
Yeah, Hummer too.
Was on the list.
Yeah. I kind of want Hello Kitty Cat to come back. In the set, they almost did it. They did it a little bit during the last tour, but we didn't get to catch that because of the cutoff times and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, those were definitely the highlights for me. But Jelly Belly was definitely the standout.
Yeah, probably me too. In terms of just I didn't know that was coming either. That was like, I kind of just clocked like the beginning of the set list online prior to it. So yeah, that was a surprise, and such an exciting, pleasant surprise for sure.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the merch? Did you buy anything? I can't remember.
I didn't end up buying anything, no.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, look, we're our industries are on strike right now.
That's the thing, yeah. It's
we're on double strike.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to kind of penny pinch a little bit. Again, like, thankfully Jack kind of helped us out, because we're poor. You know, so we appreciate that. Thank you, Jack. Because I originally bought tickets and I had to sell them because I had to pay bills. And that's just the position we're in. But I had saved up specifically for the show so that I could buy some merch. And I bought a hat.
Yeah, it was a cool hat. I almost bought the hat.
Yeah, that's really cool hat. And then later on, I was like, you know what? I actually am going to drop coin for that hoodie, that blue hoodie.
Oh, did you get it?
No, because they were out.
I know you didn't
out.
Get it at the show. Yeah, I wasn't sure if you ordered it, but
they didn't have it online yet. I'll have to ask Corrine if they're going to put that up on the website, because I would like that. It looked comfy, and I like a different color other than black,
right?
Or, you know, white. So I definitely need to vary up the colors in my closet. But yeah, I like the poster that was for our show too. There's been some really great posters this tour. And I love that they're doing it through Iconic as well, the Iconic collection, which did the Cures tour as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's cool that you get to, like, if you didn't have a chance at the show, you can pick it up on that website. So you have that. And as a collector, I mean, I still have like a handful of posters just sitting in those tubes. So I still have to frame. And I don't know if my wife or child will be like happy with having
I have a couple of pumpkins things on my framing list too. Yeah. But we did get physical tickets. That was kind of cool. We got ticket stubs to keep.
Which I haven't had in a while.
No,
so
it's been
like
a minute for me too.
It was a nice little collectible to have. Any other thoughts on the show, Pat?
No, it was great. I mean, it was fun seeing the opening bands. Stone Temple Pilots sounded good.
Stone Temple Pilots, I mean, that's the second time we've seen them technically open up for the Pumpkins, because we saw them at Beach Life.
Yeah,
and then we saw them here. And they rock. Like, they sound great, and it's really uncanny how that new lead singer sounds and moves like Scott Weiland. It's really, I mean, like, we had talked to Jack about this, about, like, that guy's got a hard job.
Yeah.
And I think he does a fantastic job, because they sound great.
Yeah, they sounded really great. It was definitely a greatest hits set list.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, not that I'm, you know, I don't really know a ton of deep cuts at this point. But, they sounded really good. Yeah.
You were calling them Mighty Joe Young, the original name, and that's how big of a STP head you are.
I just rolls off my tongue, you know what I mean?
Well, Rival Sons was interesting. It was really cool because that lead singer, man, he's got pipe.
Zeppelin kind of, we were trying, I don't know much about them, and I haven't really looked them up yet, but they sounded great. Definitely some thoroughbred rocker types.
Yeah, Southern rock.
Yeah. So
kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, all in all, it was a great night. It was awesome to see the Pumpkins again. And I thought, I mean, it's like, it never... We've gotten to see them a handful of times in recent years, but like, just so like grateful to get to see them, and grateful that they sound so good. You know what I mean? Like,
it would
be a bummer if they sucked. You know what I mean?
Yeah. From your lips to God's ears.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop kissing them on the ear, but, cause that's creepy. But I mean, yeah, it's true. I'm so grateful that we get to see them. And also, it feels like they're having fun.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, too. It's one thing to, like, see them live.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you've seen bands, too, when they get back together or they're touring, and you could just tell. You're just like, oh, they're not enjoying this at all. I don't want to be here watching this.
Yeah.
And luckily, the past couple of times we've seen them, it feels like, oh, this is nice. It's invigorating. It feels like an actual good atmosphere.
Yeah, everyone was having, with the exception of that guy, the guy was yelling at, and the people immediately around him, everyone in the building or the amphitheater was having a great time. So it was super fun.
All right, well, we expressed our thoughts about the show that we went to. Now let's hear from some of our listeners.
Hey everyone, it's David Jepson here. I was lucky enough to attend one of the Sydney shows for the World is a Vampire Festival back in April. I thought I might chat about a couple of highlights for me, as well as some interesting things that happened during the show. So it had been 8 years since the Pumpkins had toured to Australia, so it had been a long, long, long wait. And in fact, even longer in terms of seeing Jimmy play with the band. I think that was about 15 years. And I think you have to go back to kind of a Door era to think of when James played with the Pumpkins in Australia. So, yeah, absolutely incredible to see the band in its current form. And they certainly did not disappoint. They were joined by Jane's Addiction, Amel and the Sniffers, and Battlesnake, as well as the wrestling component as well. And I will say that as an overall impression of World as a Vampire Festival, I went in not knowing a whole lot about wrestling, but it works. The concept actually works. Don't let it hold you back. If you're not really into wrestling, you should absolutely go out. I would describe the festival as like, it's a carnival for the damned, really. There's a lot of crazy stuff. It's pretty zany. It's pretty out there. But it is so much fun and so entertaining. And the wrestling components, they just kind of... add to it. So yeah, I say it's a brilliant concept, and I'm glad to see that Billy has rolled it out to other countries. So in terms of my my personal highlights, I really love seeing some of the newer material played live, just to hear it live. In particular, we actually started off with Empires, which was great. That opening guitar riff just sent the crowd into an absolute frenzy. Love seeing Beguiled and Spellbinding as well, in what must have been one of the first times that it had been played live, because it only had come out a month or so before. So yeah, it was incredible to see Spellbinding. I actually didn't recognize it when I heard it. Had to look it up in the set list after, and yeah, it translated really, really well to the live performance. A couple of other big highlights: I love the cover of Once in a Lifetime by Talking Heads. It was super dark, it had real XYU vibes, and it just felt like it was going to blow the roof off the Horden Pavilion. It was incredible. And in what was probably my personal highlight, and it's not necessarily my favorite song, but it was just the arrangement and the lighting and the overall feel of We Only Come Out at Night. It was pretty early on in the set, but yeah, it was just, it was a beautiful performance, and the lighting was just incredible. So I love that. And I was really, really good too. And they actually were joined on stage by the Veronicas, randomly just sort of appeared on stage. And this is what I'm talking about in terms of it just kind of being pretty like a bit chaotic, but always really, really entertaining, because it was surprising to just see the Veronicas come out on stage, and they sang backup vocals, and it worked. It was really, really, really cool, and the crowd absolutely loved it as well. So that was probably one of a couple of really cool nods to Australia that they that the Pumpkins did really, really well during the show. They actually Katie led the crowd in a version of You're the Voice by John Farnham. So John Farnham, if you don't know, is probably Australia's he's an icon in this country, one of our great entertainers, and You're the Voice is his it's sort of an unofficial anthem. It was awesome to see her lead, to lead the crowd in a rendition of that. And I'd actually say, just on Katie, I really thought she brought a really cool energy to the show as well. Her vocals, as always, incredible. But just the energy and presence that she brings, absolutely love it. So Katie did an awesome job, and yeah, I got the sense she was pretty proud up there, being Australian herself. So yeah, love Katie, awesome job. And the other cool thing they did from an Australian perspective was James and Billy, when they had they went acoustic for a couple of songs, they did a version of James actually sang Under the Milky Way by The Church. So they're if you haven't checked them out, well worth checking out. They've been around for yonks, and Under the Milky Way is one of their best songs. So it was cool to see James sing that one, and the crowd absolutely loved it.
Sometimes in this place it's kind of empty. Sound of the breath fades with the light. I think about the lover's fascination under the Milky Way tonight.
James also had a bit of fun with the crowd. When Billy and James went acoustic, he came up with a ad-libbed song professing his love for chicken salt, which I think maybe it's just an Australian thing, but it's something that we put on hot chips or French fries. And James had discovered it on this tour, and decided that he was very much a fan of chicken salt, which is not actually made from chickens. It's just salt mixed in with, I think, like garlic and onion and a couple of other herbs and spices, which I think are a very closely held secret. But yeah, James was a big fan. So when you're in Australia, you get asked if you want your chips with chicken salt or normal salt, and the answer is always chicken salt.
I had chips. I call them French fries. I said, what's this? It said salt. No, it's chicken salt. It's chicken salt. It's chicken salt. Chicken salt in my brain, and now I've got a whole fucking can of chicken salt. Chicken salt. chicken salt coursing through my veins.
Yo,
that's about as all I got. I'm sorry. You're like, what the fuck did we come here for? This is bullshit. All right, don't worry, we'll get back. You're like, these guys aren't saying anything and now they're losing their minds.
Frank and Pat, let me know if you need me to hook you up with some chicken salt. Be happy to send that out to you. James did say he was going to import some to America and make himself a few million dollars, he said. So hopefully he does that. Billy also had some fun. He'd seen some media that had been written, I think, about the previous night's show in Sydney. It was a very complimentary article saying that they'd done an amazing job and it was a really cool festival. But Billy jumped on too. I think they quoted some social media where someone described him as a vampire from outer space. So as you can imagine, Billy had a whole heap of fun with that description. And honestly, I think he probably was probably secretly loved that as a description for him. So yeah, Billy had good fun with the Australian media on that one, as he always does. Unfortunately, Billy did seem to be a little bit under the weather. His voice was a bit croaky in between sets, didn't affect his actual performance at all. Vocals were, as always, very, very powerful. But yeah, just in between sets, didn't sound too flash. And I did see he was using some kind of throat spray after every song, and to hopefully help him get his voice back to where it needed to be. So yeah, it was sad that Billy was a little bit crook, but yeah, certainly didn't impact the show in any way. I had a pretty good view because I was about four or five rows from the front, which was was really cool. That was about as close as I could get. I spent the whole of the Jane's Addiction set, who, as a side note, were also incredible, totally fit the vibe. It was a killer show, absolutely loved it. But I was very much honed in on trying to get as close to the front as I possibly could, and yeah, four or five rows back was about as good as I could get, and we were absolutely packed in like sardines. So yeah, huge crowd. Had some, the vibe in the crowd was really, really positive, really, really good too. Had some good chats to people, young and old, about their love for the Pumpkins. And shout out to the guy who really hoped to see Bury Me get played. And I said, I'd love to see Bury Me too. That would have been pretty cool, but, maybe at a future show. So in terms of summing up, World as a Vampire, it was an amazing day. I'm honestly still coming off the high from it. I took a stack of videos, of course, like a bit of a dork, but it's really fun reliving the show. And if you have a chance, check it out. Check out the craziness. The Pumpkins are amazing, playing as well as ever. And I just hope it's not 8 years till they come back to Australia. I got to see them a bunch more times. So yeah, awesome time. Thanks to the Pumpkins and thanks to the Pumpcast. Bye, everyone.
What's up, Pumpcast? Asherella here, also known as Original Asherella, and the World is a Vampire Tour. Well, I got to go to the Charlotte, North Carolina show, and let me preface all this with saying that the Smashing Pumpkins have been my number one unconditional, unwavering favorite band since I was 11 years old. Like, if my heart had a voice, it would be that of William Patrick Corgan, and I have seen the Smashing Pumpkins many, many times over the years. A couple of times when I was very young, pre-Pumpkins breakup, I was fortunate enough to get to go to a couple of the Asheville, North Carolina residency shows in 2007, and I've seen them several times otherwise. But I can honestly say that I feel the World is a Vampire Charlotte, North Carolina show was the best and my most favorite time seeing the Smashing Pumpkins live. The energy was so good. The crowd energy was so positive and up, and the band's energy was so good. And I feel like the band really, like, were enjoying playing. Like, everybody seemed to really be having a good time performing. The crowd was responding so well, and the band was, just playing into that also. It just felt so good. The whole energy felt so good. And it was really hot and really humid, but nobody cared. I'm a Pumpkins hardcore, so I got there super early and I got right up on the stage and I was kind of on the Jack and Jeff side of Billy, but I got lots of, you know, William Patrick Corrigan right in front of me at time, and that was amazing. And I actually got to fan Mr. Corrigan with my big The World is a Vampire fan for a bit, so that was a really cool thing and kind of a cool little story also. It was in between songs, and it was after a song that Billy was just singing on. He wasn't playing guitar, and I can't remember, maybe Ava Adore, but he had came down right in front of me, and I was right, like, in front of the stage, right on the rail, and he was bending down, kind of sit down a minute, and we were in Charlotte, North Carolina, and it was really hot and really humid, and he had kind of fanned himself with his hand, making, like, oh, it's hot kind of, like, motion. So I bust out my big The World is a Vampire Tour fan, and I start fanning him super hard, like, as hard as I can, and he makes the motion and nods his head, and it was like, yeah, yeah, keep going. So that was the story on how I, you know, fanned Billy Corgan, Mr. Corgan, William Patrick Corgan, with my big fan for a good 30 seconds to a minute. And might not mean much to a lot of people, but to me, that was an amazing experience. And I also got one of his picks from the show, so that was great as well. If I may be so bold to say, I know that, like, we will never have the original Smashing Pumpkins lineup, or it's likely we'll never have them again, but I feel like the version of the Smashing Pumpkins right now is an amazing version of the Smashing Pumpkins. I feel like the band feels more whole than we felt in a long time. Jack and Jeff and Katie are all, like, so talented, and they're just amazing additions to Billy, James, and Jimmy. And like I said, we just feel really whole for the first time, I think, in a good while. But it was a great show. My favorite Pumpkin show so far, at least to this point. But I'm really excited to hear what everyone else had to say about their shows and their experience. So thanks so much.
This next email comes from Charlie Cullen, September 13th, 1996, Ottawa, Canada, Canadian Tire Center. My wife and I, just friends at the time, went to see the Smashing Pumpkins. Almost 27 years to the day, we saw them again as a couple. September 3rd, 2023, same place, almost same seats, on the opposite side of the stadium. SP played their hearts out with all the fire and rage of the old days. Couldn't have asked for a better show. However, Ottawa is not known for energetic crowds. I caught a guy on my wife's side and another guy beside me sleeping. I stood up as soon as Billy took the stage, and two songs later, some guy behind me yelled at me to sit down. He couldn't see. I'm sorry, my bad. I got video of Jelly Belly, the most energetic song of the night. You could clearly see the crowd slightly nodding their heads. Back in the day, that song would have had crowd surfers and moshing nonstop. No wonder the Pumpkins haven't played here since 2000. A stadium full of statues. My wife and I loved the show, though. Pumpkins forever!
Hi, I'm Catherine, and I attended both opening shows of the tour in Las Vegas. I've been a fan for 30 years, so even though I live in BC, Canada, I knew I had to fly out to see this. The first night, I was seated, and there were so many highlights. Having no idea what they would play, I found myself in tears a few times. The moment that was the most powerful was, of course, hearing This Time. If I remember correctly, James announced the song, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I think all of us diehard fans, our jaws just collectively dropped. Playing it for the first time in 23 years, it just felt magical to be there hearing it. And speaking of magic, I met the people sitting beside me, and they had also flown in from British Columbia just to see the show. The second night, I got general admission tickets, and I arrived at 2:30 just to make sure I could be at the front. The camaraderie and cooperation that the fans showed that day was almost as much of a highlight as the show itself. Somebody had Sharpies and they were giving out numbers so that you had your spot in line. We looked out for each other and made sure that the people who were there first got to the front. So we spent the afternoon talking about the pumpkins and relaxing and just waiting to get in, getting to know each other, having a lot of fun. I'm super convinced that the type of people who get in line hours early to see the pumpkins are the best type of people. Front row, right in front of James, was an experience I'll never forget. There's nothing like being up front in the moment with the songs that you've grown up with. Seeing the band smile, seeing them all have so much fun, right up close like that, there aren't a lot of words for the feeling. It's perfect. It's complete contentment. Another reason this show was so amazing for me is that 5 years ago, I saw Shiny and Oh So Bright in Las Vegas, and I was actually in the middle of a cancer journey. I was just about to go into radiation treatment, and during that concert, I had a moment where Billy nodded while playing Mayonnaise, and from my point of view, it looked like he was nodding at me. I mean, I know he wasn't nodding at me, but at that moment, it looked like it, and I needed it. It gave me strength. It looked like he was saying, "You got this." I took that moment, I used it, it helped me. It really did help me get through the cancer and the treatment. And five years later, which is now, I went back to Vegas to see them again. While I was up front, I made sure to give Billy a nod, give him a thank you. I don't think he saw me, but it doesn't matter. I made it, and this was a wonderful way to celebrate my five-year survival. Thank you, Smashing Pumpkins. Thank you, Smashing Pumpcast. Thank you to the SP fans that I met. This was a great experience.
This next email is from Eric. "Hey guys, I saw the World is a Vampire tour in Tampa, Florida. After a typical afternoon, a Florida storm came through. The gates opened to what almost felt like a country fair vibe. Damp, cloudy, humid. Perfect setting for the night. The NWA wrestling ring was a perfect fixture for the carnival-type setting with WPC as the ringmaster. I locked eyes with Kerry Morton going backstage, and he called me an SOB. So funny. The crowd looked as if it stepped out of 1993, like when I first saw the Pumpkins. No Swifties or influencers. We were here to rock with the Pumpkin King. The set list remained mostly the same from the Spirits on Fire shows, but to me, hearing Hummer made me cry, smile, and dance. If you know, you know. I felt Billy added that to the set list as sort of an olive branch. To the fans? To the past? Not for nostalgia's sake, but to say, hey, I get it. Like acknowledging some past trauma. Loved hearing Purple Blood and then Perfect with Katie on guitar and vocals. I love Katie's contribution and hope to see her in future work. I will close this email with Billy talking about his dad. He mentioned his dad passing away not too far away from Tampa, as well as his stint in St. Petersburg. I actually work in St. Pete's and I always think about when Billy was there. It's an interesting place to say the least. We both had complicated relationship with our fathers, and they ended up quite the same way. The night was beautiful and dark, romantic and haunting. Smashing Pumpkins are weird. Florida is weird. Let's keep being weird together. EL from Orlando." Shots and ground,
set up like your phoenix, I will fly. "Hey guys, long time listener, first time caller. This is Matt from Brisbane, Australia. Just calling in to say love the what you guys are doing with the Pumpcast, and also that I was lucky enough to attend both the Brisbane Eden Hill Smashing Pumpkins concert and also the Sandstone Point concert. The Eden Hill concert in particular was strange. It seemed like that was added on a bit later than the advertised Sandstone Point concert. In particular, I think that affected the sale of tickets. It definitely wasn't sold out.
I believe they actually lost a fair amount of money on that show, which is disappointing for them, but they were excellent. And that was my first time seeing the band with James. I'd seen them with Jimmy back in 2008 when they toured Australia, and then again on the Oceania tour with obviously Mike and Nicole. So yeah, really good, excellent sound, a lot of fun. The Sandstone Point show as well was great. For that one, I purposely was a bit further back from the stage, so I definitely got to see the crowd in their sort of interaction with the show. Really enjoyed that. And yeah, the music was phenomenal. The sound seemed better at the Sandstone Point Hotel as well. That venue is definitely more set up for live music. They host a lot of live music there, whereas the Eaton's Hill, they do some festivals there, but it's rare that they do shows on the outside stages like that. And that's the other thing about this tour that was a bit strange. For them to come to Australia and not play, you know, the ready-made sort of arenas, I thought was an interesting decision. Obviously, they wanted to go outside and have the wrestling and everything be part of it. But, you know, we do have convention centers and we do have, you know, entertainment buildings, I guess, set up that could have had that as an indoor arena. So yeah, again, interesting decision. It did mean that I think they probably lost out on some ticket sales as well, because a lot of those are places that they played weren't actually in the entertainment hubs. So, for example, Sandstone Point was actually at Bribie Island, which is really about an hour's drive with traffic north from sort of the Brisbane center. And even for me, I live a little bit closer than that, but you know, I was worried about traffic, and you know, it definitely put off some of my friends wanting to you know, make the journey on to that particular show. Even the Eaton's Hill show, which was at as I said, I really think that should have probably been just a Brisbane show. Eaton's Hill, again, it's a good 30 minutes north of Brisbane, and with really no good public transport options to get there. So there's no train. Driving out there is a hassle. I don't know. It was close for me, but yeah, I know, again, a lot of people were probably put off by that. So there's just some thoughts. In relation to the show, Amel and the Sniffers were great as always. Really liked them as band. Good to see Aussies represented on the bill. And honestly, I was really blown away by Jane's Addiction. I really, really thought they were excellent. I know Perry's had some issues in the past. He looked so skinny. Never seen a man so skinny, but he, you know, he seemed well and he was very energetic. And yeah, I guess it was really cool to see a band that had so many recognizable songs that I'd never really listened to before. So it definitely got me back into their catalog and listening. Yeah, that about wraps it up, guys. Keep up the podcast and thanks very much.
This next email comes from Justin Reeves. I believe this was my 12th SP show with a Zwan show on top of that. This is the first time they played this venue in Salt Lake City, and I know it well from seeing 311 there every summer. I bought the general admission pit tickets for myself and two of my three sons, the third being too young to go. We got there early and walked straight to the front, one person between us and the gate that separates the fans from the stage. This was a cool experience because my oldest son, 15-year-old Corgan, was going to come face-to-face with his namesake. I think it was lost on my 13-year-old how cool it was that he got to fist bump the singer from Stone Temple Pilots and caught his sweat rag too. Back in my day, it would have blown my mind. I've seen the Pumpkins on several tours starting in 2000. I can honestly say that of those shows, the band looked like they were having the most fun on stage together at this show. The onstage banter and the jokes between band members on stage were great. The band has never sounded better than they do right now. The Jeff, James, Billy trio on guitars made songs like Hummer and Doomsday Clock really cook. The highlight of the show for me was the full band doing Perfect with Katie Cole's beautiful vocals and the interesting arrangement of the song. It's probably the Pumpkins song I've listened to the most over the years. Hummer was on a totally different level sonically, with the distortion just sending me into another world, man. As always, Ava adores Slade and made for some fun Billy dancing on stage. Purple Blood from Seer was an interesting choice, but it was a very cool addition to the show. I feel bad that Seer came out when it did and didn't get a supporting tour. Beguiled, Empires, and Spellbinding were three of the best songs they played all night. I love Autumn, and had a list of like 10 more songs I would have liked to have heard from it. Those Beguiled guitars were so hard, so intimidating. I'd never heard Jelly Belly live, and that was a really cool addition. Overall, it was in the top tier of Pumpkin shows that I have been to. I had several friends attend who were first-timers that left totally blown away. Thanks, Justin Reeves. This next email comes from Evangelina. Hello, Frank and Pat. Over the last couple of years, I've tried my best to attend as many Pumpkin shows as I can. I have been extremely lucky to have these opportunities because my love for the band started a mere 2 years before they broke up in 2000. While I was never able to view the original lineup, I have never felt wanting. Recently, the band seems to have a newfound energy, and they love to be on stage. I decided to splurge on pit tickets for the Irvine show in August. I have seen the Pumpkins from every seat imaginable in different venues. However, this was different. This being a stadium tour, there was a different kind of energy from the crowd. As my husband and I waited for the show to start, I noticed people crowding more and more, and I realized people were trying to make their way to the front. I'd never experienced that at any of their shows prior. People usually respect that you have been standing in a spot for the last few hours. Fortunately, it was only one rude drunk man, and everyone seemed to have the same idea. You shall not pass! He realized he wasn't going to literally push us around and left. Then the show starts, and it's everything I always hoped for. I'm whisked away to my 14-year-old self, dying to see this band, dying to sing the songs I have memorized to belt along with Billy. I am home amongst like-minded people. My first album was Adore, so it was amazing to watch Perfect performed live, stripped down to its beauty. As the hits kept coming, the energy suddenly shifted, and turns out an actual mosh pit formed just behind me. I was shocked considering, one, I'm 39 and don't belong in mosh pits, two, that there was an actual mosh pit at a Pumpkin show. While trying to stay on my feet, I was eventually pushed so much I was one row of people away from the front of the stage. So, thank you, mosh pit. The highlight was, of course, Hummer. I don't think I have ever sung that loud. I wanted to get lost during that performance, and I did. I can sit here and complain that they did not play this song or that, but really, that's not important. We, as a Pumpkins collective, are so fucking lucky to have this band as it is today. To all those young fans at the shows, I hope you are made to feel welcome, and your love for the band continues to grow. Farewell and good night, Evangelina. This next email is from Rindy. Where do I begin? Back in 1992, my older sister had a friend who gave her Gish on cassette. Remember cassettes? I walked past her room and heard this sound. Something new and different. I asked her what she was listening to, and she replied, The Smashing Pumpkins, a band out of Chicago. And having been born outside the city by the lake, I was instantly intrigued. That's when I found my favorite band of all time. The same friend who gave my sister Gish took me to the World is a Vampire tour on its final night in Noblesville. Truly a full circle moment. My sister has since passed away, but I know she was with me on that night as I watched and got lost in 30 plus years of music. I am forever grateful for this band and all they have given to the fans. SP Family is real, and indeed, the world is a vampire. Rindy.
Hi, this is Courtney. I have been a fan of the Smashing Pumpkins since I first heard Drown on the single Soundtrack way back in 1992. I went to two of the shows on the World is a Vampire tour, the opening night in Vegas, and then the Bristow, Virginia show just a few weeks ago. And the thing that struck me about this particular show, and I should say that this was show 18 and 19 for me, this was the first time I remember, and it could have happened before and I just didn't put two and two together, but this was the first show in Vegas where I felt that there was a real kind of, I don't know if it was an Easter egg or just something that Billy did to that real diehard fans would have caught on to, but I felt like this was the first set list that there was a real storyline, there was a real through line. And you know, those of us that have followed the band for ages, you know, have kept track of the different sort of theories and stories and threads through different songs and through different albums. But this was really the first time that I kind of noticed it from the first notes of Everlasting Gaze all the way through the end to Zero. And, you know, hearing tracks like Jelly Belly and Purple Blood and This Time that hadn't been on the set list in a really long time, I just felt like, you know, all of these lyrics just really kind of told the story of the Pumpkins. And I was really, you know, there was just a particular message there that I really felt like Billy was trying to tell people, or at least, you know, kind of give a nod to those who have paid attention and would catch on to those things. And the last thing I'll say is, I don't know, maybe I'm just reading too much into the set list. And I was looking for things that maybe didn't necessarily exist, but I did think that it was really interesting that I hadn't seen that come up on any of the other Pumpkins websites, like fan sites, at least the ones that I follow, which are only a few. So anyways, that was my World is a Vampire tour take. And so if in fact Billy developed the set list, the band developed the set list with that in mind, that's awesome, because I felt like as a fan to hear kind of this story in this series of songs in this particular way, in this particular order, was really great. And if it wasn't, and it was just a happenstance, which I don't think Billy does anything by happenstance, it was fun.
This next email was sent in by Chad Raven. Hi, been a big fan for over 25 years now. Don't get to see them much and thought I was going to miss out again. I was in Queensland visiting my grandfather in a new nursing home, and the dates lined up so I could attend the Gold Coast show. I would describe the Gold Coast as a party town, like Las Vegas at the beach, but no casinos, just a big condom shop. And axe throwing shops, guns, etc., so you can build up your testosterone for the big condom shop. The show itself was pretty standard in format for the World is a Vampire shows, but seeing a band with so much integrity against this type of backdrop slash environment was so mind-bending and refreshing. I will never forget those 40 or so hours. I only had a standard ticket, a bargain at only $200. There was a guy I met from New Zealand who had a $900 VIP ticket. He had heard that the VIP experiences had gotten more and more frugal as the tour had gone on. I didn't see him after the show, but from what I've heard, the extra expense is very much not worth it. I would definitely pay lots of money to be at a sit-down acoustic VIP show, like Billy did years ago, and we have never had in Australia. I would probably prefer something like this over a huge rock show thing. Chad Raven from Queensland. The next email comes from Danielle. I went to two of the shows in my state and they were fan-fucking-tastic. This was my 10th time seeing them in Australia and I have to say, it was the best. Gig 1 at Creole Castle in Ballarat. I'm probably saying that wrong, I'm sorry. Get this. It's a fake fabricated castle on the top of a beautiful hill in rural Victoria. I get there at 2 p.m., peek behind the wall of Portaloos, and see Billy in the castle with the wrestlers all dressed up and a guy in a full knight armor. What is this? A dream? Fake castle, Billy in a puffer jacket even though it's warm, and a bunch of wrestlers in fancy dress? The wrestling is set up and Billy is watching from the side, hood up, hoping no one notices him. Jack Bates joins him at one point. The Aussie crowd yells out funny comments at the American wrestlers, and I'm already having the best time. This is so kooky and dreamlike. Fast forward past the three support bands to Jane's Addiction. They make some jokes about the castle. Perry is charismatic, and his wife and two other dancers are doing crazy aerobatic stripper moves on some monkey bars at the side of the stage. Then, pumpkins time. I'm right up front. They walk on to Autumn instrumental. Billy is in a great mood, despite having to spray his throat between songs due to a cold. Lots of banter and onstage dancing. They played all the hits and had heaps of crowd participation. It's like he's really aimed these shows at what a crowd would want, rather than just what he would want, if that makes any sense. I've never seen him so animated on stage and having a great time. My highlight was surprisingly Ava Adore. The way they blended the sync sound with the band and doubled up the solo, it's such a great guitar solo that it really does need to be doubled up to get that max experience. I've had the best day. It's like I got to hang out in a dream for a whole day seeing Billy around during the day and later on stage that night. Gig 2, Main City, Melbourne. I don't watch any of the wrestling and get right up to the front. The crowd is much more intense and hardcore this gig. The crowd goes absolutely nuts from Cherub Rock into Zero into 1979. I let the crowd take me. I feel like a kid all over again, still on a high, living my dreams still 25 years on from 1998. Thanks, Danielle. This email was sent to us by Joe in Noblesville, Indiana. A little bit of context about me. Siamese Dream and Melancholy were my jams in my late teens, early 20s, when I was going through a lot of depression and health problems. I am introverted and rarely go to concerts. September 9th of this year was my second Smashing Pumpkins concert ever, and probably my fourth or fifth concert in my life ever. Highlights from the show. Billy's vocals sounded great. He was in top form. Billy was having fun. Goofy dancing during Hubble Bubble was great, inviting the crowd to sing along at certain points at different songs, cracking jokes with James Ehod during a short break toward the end of the show. Also, the opening was a nuclear bomb of rock. SP did not hold back with Everlasting Gaze and Doomsday Clock, and the cover of Once in a Lifetime was intense. I mean, damn. They can rock. Jimmy Chamberlain and James Ehod were top-notch too. The whole band was cohesive and each song sounded amazing. I had lawn seats and wore earplugs. Maybe this is why the sound was so good, because some folks said it was too loud? My girlfriend, not really a Pumpkins fan to begin with, did research and surprised me by knowing a few of the songs and singing / dancing along with me. She's amazing. We made this a weekend trip, Airbnb, the whole nine, and it was a great time. The lows of the show. Disappointed at the mess on the lawn by the crowd at the end of the show. Bottles, cigarettes everywhere. Someone on Reddit said a good portion of the lawn was probably season ticket holders who go to shows to enjoy themselves, not really in it for the bands themselves. Which is fine, but at least clean up after yourselves, you know? Funny / what the fuck moments during the show. The wrestling match and Billy's kids dancing on stage. Billy threw a giant flower wreath into the audience at one point during the wrestling match. They did not want to seem to play mayonnaise and made a bunch of puns about it. They stopped Zero initially after the first few bars. Not sure why. Were they playing with the crowd? I don't know. It sounded all good and the crowd was jamming to it. Anyway, very fun experience. So glad I went. And if I go next time, I may invest in seats closer to the pit because I definitely want to sing along and jump around more. The pit looked pretty intense. Joe from Noblesville, Indiana.
All right. Hey, everyone. So Simon here from Ausphoria. I'm going to share back some of the things that we noticed within the Australian leg of the tour, mainly from the Adelaide show that we got to witness. So the Adelaide show in April on the World is a Vampire tour. So for the 20 plus times that my wife and I have seen the Pumpkins together side by side, this one was a little different because this was the first time that we had our 9-year-old daughter with us. And so very excited to be able to take her along. The other level of excitement for us is anytime we get to go to a SP show, it feels like a reunion, mainly because we get to see all of our friends that have traveled from other cities or that live in that city that are also Pumpkins fans and been part of the Ozphoria community for the past 20 years. And so for us, that was probably an equal highlight as seeing the Pumpkins, is just seeing all the faces of people who we haven't seen for a number of years. You know, we're a little older, a little wiser, but still just teenagers inside and getting excited to see the band that we love. The short review of the show, seriously, how good do the Pumpkins sound these days? Like, just, I'm still on a high, I think, you know, nearly 6 months after the show, when I think back to the set list, the performance, the joy that we saw on stage. Hands down, one of the best Pumpkins shows and tours that, you know, we've seen. The longer review with a bit more sort of detail for you all is, okay, the first thing that we noticed in the lead up to the show of the Australian tour, you know, Billy had been mentioning that he'd been feeling a bit unwell. I think he mentioned that on a couple of the podcast episodes as well. And I think a few of us, the hardcore fans, we started to notice that the set list lost a few songs along the way, mainly Stand Inside Your Love, which I'm very disappointed about, and also Space Age, which equally disappointed about, because I've really been hoping to hear that. It's my favourite song on Autumn, and maybe on a future tour it will pop up again. The Adelaide show itself, the first thing that I noticed as we turned up to the venue and looking around was just the beauty of the diversity that existed within the crowd. Such a mix of old and new, families, just that sort of vibe. I don't think I had ever noticed at a Smashing Pumpkins show before. And obviously we fitted into the latter category there, you know, with our daughter with us as well. And so just loved seeing that and hearing some of the conversations with some of the younger fans that were seeing the Pumpkins for the first time, and their level of excitement and the songs that they were looking forward to hearing. It's such a really good space for the band and the community to be within. So that was an absolute joy. The standout tracks that I would say, all right, going through, I guess, chronological order of the show, walking out and playing Empires, what a great way to just set the mood of the show. We Only Come Out at Night, man, I was just so happy to hear that live for myself, as you know, that has always been that quirky little song that I've loved on Melancholy, and to finally hear that perform live was great. The second being, earlier this year, my daughter just ended up falling in love with that song, you know, hearing it played on the stereo at home and seeing her bopping away to it, and then it being performed live and her being able to form that sort of connection and being excited when it came on, and just how the band performed it as well, you know. And I think the perfect connection with the lighting of the show and having that connection with the song was great. And just it being a moment where you noticed, like, within the crowd, everyone just having a bit of a breather from, you know, the songs that had preceded it, and you know, and just enjoying that sort of softer moment. As the show went on, the trio of Solera, Into I, and Into Avrador, man, that was fantastic. I loved hearing the three of them back to back and just how that connected in with the band's overall sort of performance at that point, and the ability that it gave every sort of member their time to shine in each of those songs, namely Jimmy at the end of Solera with the epic drum solo, was great. And you know, I always love, you know, in Avrador, just seeing Billy, that's his time to prowl around the stage, and just awesome to be able to witness that again. Another highlight, I'm trying to limit myself here, another highlight was obviously the cover of Under the Milky Way. I knew it was coming. We had watched that little tease slowly evolve over from show to show into being more of a performance song between James and Billy. The thing that I loved was when it started to actually get to that point where people could recognize it, people sitting around us, the penny dropped, and just these, they're playing the church. Like, that was super exciting. And yeah, it was definitely a moment of Aussie pride there, especially within that point. You know, the Church are one of those well-loved Australian bands, and you know, we don't know how well-known they are around the world, but for us, and I think yeah, for a number of fans that we spoke with afterwards, they were truly sort of surprised that the Pumpkins covered such an iconic Australian band. And you know, the second time that the Pumpkins have covered them, way back when 2008, they played Reptile by the Church as well. So I think also that moment of seeing Billy and James on stage, just the two of them, for a lot of Australian fans, you know, that's the first time that we've seen Billy and James on stage since 1998. So it's a long time between drinks. And I think that moment of them on stage, them two talking about their love of Australian bands, you know, naming like bands like the Hoodoo Gurus and others, that shows the influence that Australian music has had on the Pumpkins musical career. I think just sort of solidified that relationship that we continue to have with the Pumpkins. And yeah, that moment was really special. And that conversation, obviously, you know, classic James humor at that point as well. But overall, I think the show itself was a perfect balance of, you know, new versus old, celebrating the history of the band, celebrating Autumn as an album and showcasing some of the new songs on there as well. I think that that left the fans with that perfect sort of expectations have been met, but not just, you know, being that classic hit parade band as well. That being said, when I look back at the set list and I see like Tonight Tonight, Cherub, Zero, 1979, like back to back in a row, just makes you realize how fortunate we are as fans of this band that, you know, those four songs back to back, just fantastic. Overall, closing with Silverfuck, what a great way to finish the Smashing Pumpkins show, right? Just epic and a fantastic end to what I will say is, yeah, one of my favorite Smashing Pumpkins shows that we've ever seen. Yeah, my wife and I just look back, and what an amazing sort of experience for us to travel and see that show, catch up with so many friends, and obviously be able to take our daughter and introduce her to the band that we love, and you know, the band that because of that band, you know, that's why we are a family. So to all the Pumpkins heads that we got to chat with at the show, to all the fans that we talked to online, to all the fans that took amazing footage and photos of that tour, thank you, because you know, we got to experience so much more than the shows that we attended. I look forward to the Pumpkins coming down under again, and hope to see you there.
This next email is from Stephanie, aka our_retro_life on Instagram. Imagine, if you will, a 13-year-old girl browsing through the BMG and or Columbia House catalog via AOL browser and stumbling onto what would be the world's greatest alt band to ever be assembled. Rushing to the mailbox and unwrapping the new unscratched gift, dreaming of happier days and fantasizing about her future life in a whirlwind of escapism from her current teenage angst as she tunes in to Siamese Dream through a CD player. Fast forward to Friday, July 28th, 2023 at 8 p.m. at the Cosmopolitan Hotel in Las Vegas, as she finally relives that emotion of nostalgic bliss while a rare version of Hummer is being belted out by Billy and the Boys. That's the only way to describe my recent concert experience with my husband, an even bigger fan than I. Arm in arm, squirming in our seats, singing,
I was happier
know, at that moment, we both really were. A magical night that we'll never forget. Stephanie. The following is a comment that was made on our post on Instagram. User a.crashing.melon said, to summarize the Michigan show, rain falls on everyone. Despite that, I enjoyed it a lot since I got to hear This Time and Jelly Belly. Thank you so much for tuning in to this bonus special episode covering the World is a Vampire tour. And thank you again to everyone who submitted their stories from the tour. If you want to help us out and can't sign up for our Patreon or donate any money at our buymeacoffee.com, please go to Apple Podcasts, rate us 4 or 5 stars, preferably leave a short and positive review. Or you can go to Spotify and give us a 4 to 5 star rating. That would really help us out. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Pat?
Thank you to everyone, and we'll see you. Oh, one last thought. I was going to say we'll see you in the pit. There was a bit of a pit.
There was. Actually, there was during Hummer.
Yeah.
Man, that song, I don't know what happened in
it
Irvine.
There was some
frequency that brought out the beast in some people. That guy started to fight during that. The pit, there was actual pit happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh-wee.
It felt, there was a real deal pit out there. So we'll see you next time in the pit. And until then, we bid you a fond farewell.
And good night.